are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
Yes, I think that schools should be about helping children to find out what they're really great at, because then it becomes education capital, if you like.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance and research-based publications.
This is Holly, editor at Teacher Toolkit, the most influential blog on education in the UK. 2018 is the centenary of women winning the right to vote in the UK. To mark this anniversary, over the next year, I will be interviewing 100 women working in the field of education or in the public eye in order to catalogue their lives, celebrate their successes, discuss the challenges they face, and discuss what they would like to pass on to the next generation. In this podcast, you'll hear Ross McGill interviewing ex-head teacher Alison Creel. It's fantastic he got the chance to meet her, so we can include her as part of the 100 Women series. You'll hear them talk about Alison's career achievements, some challenges, and what she'd like to see changed in education.
Today I am with head teacher Alison Creel. Hello, Alison.
I'm not a head teacher anymore.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Right, okay. Well, tell everyone what you are and what you do.
Currently, I'm working part-time as a CEO of a multi-academy trust, and I'm spending the rest of my time developing my own social media platform for education.
Okay, so fantastic. And apologies, because I've known you digitally for a few years as a head teacher. I was unaware of the transition. What career achievements would you say you're most proud of?
I'm very, very proud of the fact that I have always worked with amazing teams, and I have a way of connecting with people who help me to be my very best, which means that I can help them to be their very best, and I've always been proud of that.
Okay, any good personal achievements?
My own personal achievements. I don't know if I've ever achieved anything on my own, because I've always kind of felt it was a team thing. But I love the fact that I built a school from scratch through to year six and watched the development grow.
Yeah,
that always,
fantastic.
That's a dream when you can see your vision being put into action.
Right. And so that's the school you just left recently?
No, it's the one before.
The one before. Okay. What would you say has been the main challenges you've faced in your career as a head teacher?
Judgments
externally?
Yes. External judgments, people who don't take time to really find out enough. I think the thing that's driven me crazy is the fact that we, over the years, I've watched us become more and more obsessed with being a tick box.
Yeah.
Culture, and the whole thing about targets and tick box culture, it means that we're disconnecting.
Yeah.
And humans are about connections, and schools are about connections. So when we start collecting data in this kind of way and make rash judgments about schools, about people, about children, it means that valuable opportunities for development are missed, and it's actually, I've seen it have a direct impact on head teachers, on teachers and on our children.
Now, I really liked your curriculum pitch tonight. What would you like to see the one thing change? Now, I know you alluded to it in the presentation, but for people that didn't hear or watch you this evening, is it something along those lines, or is it something different?
Yes, I think that schools should be about helping children to find out what they're really great at, because then it becomes education capital, if you like. Because if you know you're really good at something, then it's going to raise your morale, it's going to raise your self-esteem, it's going to give you a can-do attitude. And it means that we'll see children taking risks because they know they're good at something.
Yeah.
And employers are looking for employees who will take risks. So you've got to create the ground for that to be
able to happen. Absolutely. So, Alison, what does the centenary mean to you, the year of the vote for women?
Okay, so there are two sides. One is me as a South African, it doesn't feel like a centenary of voting for women. But it also feels like a remarkable achievement, because when I think about where my grandmother was, who would have been alive more than 100 years ago, and where I am now, then that's a remarkable journey. But I also sometimes feel very sad about the centenary vote, because yes, it was a remarkable achievement to get that. But when I look at how women are treated on Twitter, about how little has been achieved in that 100 years, then I kind of feel sad that we aren't in a better place.
So that leads me on to my next question. What would you like to see change in the next 100 years for women?
I would like women to feel less judged. I'd like women to be less objectified. I'd like women to take up their authority, to just consider themselves to be equal and open to every opportunity. I'd like women to feel that they can look like they want to look and to be doing the things that they that makes them happy.
Okay. Right, I've got a quick fire round for you now. If you weren't a teacher, what would you have done?
Midwifery, I think.
Midwifery, okay, interesting. Name three famous women, dead or alive, you'd like to invite for a dinner party.
Maya Angelou.
Okay.
My grandmother.
Yeah.
Grandma Creel.
Uh-huh.
Oh gosh, there's so many amazing
Just
people.
One more at the table,
Just
one
more. Probably Michelle Obama.
All right, okay. What are you currently reading?
I've just been sent a copy of The Working Class by...
Okay.
Independent thinking.
Which woman would you recommend we interview next and why?
Wow, have you spoken to Claire Erasmus?
I am speaking with Claire on Twitter, so we'll catch up with her
She's
soon.
Amazing.
What one thing have you learnt today?
I was actually really interested in the final presentation around stuff that Rays are doing around mental illness, because I thought it was the other way around. I thought that girls started off with lower mental health challenges than boys, which then increased as they got older, but it's actually the reverse, and that
It's been very interesting, surprising. Where can readers find out more about you, connect online?
I'm on Twitter at Alison Creel. I've also got a website, which is alisoncreel.com, and I'm also launching my own platform, which is aboveandbeyond.education.
Fantastic. So thank you very much for your time, Alison. It's been a pleasure to meet you. You're listening to Teacher Toolkit. You can find out more on our website and follow on social media using the hashtag TTKit100Women. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to Teacher Toolkit. You can find out more about 100 Years, 100 Women on our website, teachertoolkit.co.uk, or follow us on social media using the hashtag TTKit100Women.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk.